amen, amen, amen. The prophet Isaiah has written in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, "Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." Yes. "They shall walk and not faint." I do honor the Lord this morning for the opportunity to share. Thank you so much, Pastor Avery, for allowing this. I give honor to the persons who have received that ordination to go and cry loud and spare not, Elder Bobby, Elder Deborah, any of the other persons on the line, and to basically all of us who are connected here through this virtual church. It's a good thing to be in this virtual house of the Lord just one more time. I want to take this opportunity also to say happy Father's Day, happy Daddy's Day to fathers, biological fathers, those that may have acted as fathers in the lives of significant persons. Those persons in your life, we honor the Lord for you and for allowing you to assume the role that you have assumed all these years. I don't want to be long. I always say they taught us
in seminary.
They taught us in seminary, 20 minutes. That's a good sermon, 20 minutes. Don't be too long. And I know you got Father's Day plans. And so, matter of fact,
let him use.
Sometimes in a preaching class, if you went over 20 minutes, one professor in particular, Dr. Kane Hope Felder, would come to the podium and take your notes from you. And whatever it was you had to say, it was you and the Holy Spirit at that moment. But I always laughed because I said, I hope I get to that point because that was the best time for me. That was our best time.
Come on now, come on.
When we left the extemporaneous part and we just started to listen to what the Holy Ghost said to us as we said it to the people. So I can recall some of those days from Howard University School of Divinity when we were screaming and yelling and hollering and nobody had a note or a sermon written out or anything. And so it was so significant that Dr. Felder stopped doing it. He said, I'm not going to bother you. Go on and just preach. So I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit this morning so that you can continue with whatever plans you have. I want to call your attention to a very, very, very familiar portion of scripture. We've actually labeled it or called it the Lord's Prayer, but I want to use that as preaching material. Just take the pericope that is listed in Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 through 13, and coupled with that, I added the couple of scriptures that verses that have been included in the traditional Lord's Prayer. As it has been researched in the scriptures, several scriptures support this, but Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. The scriptures basically say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And I want to just kind of shift a little bit to the traditional, what we have kind of traditionalized over the years and the times as the Lord's Prayer, and say that prayer again, but as it is reflected traditionally in what we have labeled the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses," "as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." For the time that is mine for this morning, for the preaching moment, I want to use as a thought or a subject an inside job. An inside job. Let us pray. Father, would ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you remain my strength and my redeemer. Amen. An inside job. Father's Day provides the opportunity for us to collectively recognize our fathers, and we can do it all on the same day. It's somewhat unfortunate, though, that we're only given one day on the calendar for such recognition. If we really spend any time thinking about it, we probably all agree that one day just seems inadequate. My research on this topic indicates that Sonora Smart Dodge, of Spokane, Washington, is credited with organizing and originating Father's Day. She's said to have had the idea in 1909 while listening to a sermon on Mother's Day, which was at that time emerging as its own holiday. Dodd's father, Sonora Smart Dodd, her father was a Civil War veteran, and he had raised her and her five siblings after their mother died in childbirth. Local religious leaders at that time supported Dodd's idea, and the first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19, 1910. That was the month of the birthday of her father. Now, 62 years later, in 1972, President Richard Nixon signed legislation designating the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. Of course, now the day has become commercialized by sending greeting cards and giving gifts and going to celebrating meals together. But some people go further and they observe the custom of wearing a red rose to indicate if one's father's living, or white rose to indicate that one's father is deceased. Also at this time, grandfathers, uncles, or other men who have assumed parenting roles are honored on this Father's Day. But shift with me, if you will, to Matthew 6, the pericope from chapter from which our pericope is extracted. All of Matthew 6, Jesus teaches that our acts should be done to please our Heavenly Father. In other words, he makes it clear that righteous acts of devotion should be done for the right reason. It has to be in order. I'm really astounded by the fact that one individual, one person, Sonora Smart Dodd, was so appreciative of the contributions that her father made to her that she was moved to bestow such recognition upon him. Clearly, her father had deposited something on the inside of her that made a difference on the outside. She could not contain her appreciation for what her natural father had done. As a result, she got other people involved in her mission, and she made it her business to have official recognition bestowed to her father, her natural father, on the day of his birth. This was so significant that on the third Sunday in June, the day of her father's birth, the chief executive officer of the United States, the president, declared that this day be a national holiday. It took 62 years for this to happen, but Dodd's movement advanced the day forward. So just in case you might have gotten it twisted, I would encourage all of us to begin at the beginning and connect this day with the Father of all fathers. Let's not wait for some official declaration to motivate us to get in touch with our Heavenly Father. If you just use this little pericope found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, I can guarantee you that you will not wait to celebrate the Father of Fathers. This prayer, this Lord's Prayer, Heavenly Father used to teach his disciples to pray helps us remain eternally thankful and grateful that we can all claim him as our Father. We can all celebrate him collectively as our Father. I want to make just 3 points about that connection that will help you be reminded of the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Remember the Lord's Prayer, which we read in your hearing a minute ago. It basically lets us know who this Father is, where he is, why we should praise this particular Father, and then it tells us what to do, how to approach him for forgiveness, and how we should be in communication with him. The first point I want to pull out from this Lord's Prayer is that it allows us, his children, all of his children, to praise him first. So when you think about Father's Day and our Father's Day, our Heavenly Father's Day, we can praise him, we can thank him, we can honor him because he is a good father. He's always been there for us. He's never missed a child support payment. He's been there every step of the way. He's carried us over every mountain and he's picked us up from every valley. He has been present at every important event of our lives. We thank him this morning as our Father because he didn't even wait until we got sick. He was praying for us even before we got sick. He attended our graduation ceremony. He was there for our birthday celebration. All of those important events. So let's just set the record straight. Even before we get to the natural father, even before we honor the sperm donors in our lives, we're going to give our Heavenly Father's name the highest praise. Hallelujah. He's never asked for too much from us. All he said to us was, "This is the day that I have made. I just need you to remember to rejoice and be glad in it." So we are virtually assembled this morning for just that reason. We want to say to our Heavenly Father, much obliged, you are the Father of fathers. You did not have to give us this day. You did not even have to allow us to see this day, but we're awfully glad that you did. So for that reason, we dare not wait 62 more years to let you know that we understand.
Come on.
We are clear this morning. The evidence is overwhelming. You did the inside job. You blew the breath of life into the lungs of our earthly fathers, and they became living souls. We can rest our case on that fact alone. We need not wait for presidential legislation to praise you first. You said that everything that has breath should praise you. In other words, we will say to the lawyers, to the legal minds, this is a matter of race ipsiloquitur. It speaks for itself. There is breath in our bodies, so we're going to praise you first. It is through you that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. The second reason we want to give you praise as we continue to extrapolate from this pericope, we admit our need for forgiveness. We admit that we need to be forgiven. Even when talking to our Heavenly Father, even when we knew the right way, we did not even comply. We took a detour or we went a different way entirely. We have been disobedient. We didn't pray for those who despitefully used us. We treated others just as they treated us, as opposed to treating them as we would like to have been treated. Instead of resisting the devil, we joined forces with the devil and tried to fight our own battles. We talked about people because they talked about us. We did things that we dare not mention to anyone but you. You forgave us and you gave us one more opportunity to get it right. You were not judgmental and you did not persecute us. You merely let us know that we were your son or your daughter and that you were well pleased with us. That's why this morning, as we raise our voices, we ask you to forgive our trespasses as your disciples to pray. This final benefit teaches us that through this prayer, we can now ask for what we want, and it will be done unto us. You have instructed us through your word, and we now understand that your word is your will. We know that if we ask anything in your name, it will be done unto us. So this morning, our Heavenly Father, we are asking for your protection to abide with our natural father and our father figures. We are asking that you give them one more opportunity to do it right. We're asking that you anoint their heads with oil. We're praying that goodness and mercy will follow them, that you dispatch goodness and mercy with our natural fathers everywhere they go all the days of their lives. We ask that you prepare a seat for them at your table so they will reign with you forever and ever. We know now that this would have to be an inside job. No one could have made our earthly fathers in their own image, in your own image and likeness, but you. It was your decision more than 2,000 years ago when you decided that you would sacrifice your life so that our earthly fathers could have access to you. You made the heart as the big muscle at the center of the circulation system. You created it so that it would pump blood in their earthly bodies, around their bodies as their heart would beat. You allowed the heart to send oxygen and nutrients all over the body and carry that unwanted carbon dioxide out of the body as a waste product. You created this because it was inside. You did it because it was an inside job. You made the lungs as a respiratory system with a group of organs and tissues that work together to help to hold these tissues together and help us breathe in fresh air so that our system continues to function while it removes all gas and waste. This was an inside job. You made the kidneys to cleanse the blood, the toxins in the blood, and to transfer the waste into the urine. You made the kidneys so that the function of the blood would transport oxygen to the body, to the lungs and the tissues, and to fight infection. This was an inside job. You made the mind so that you could create it with three basic functions. For us to think, to feel, and to want. So this morning is because our thoughts and our feelings and our desires are of you. Our brain can function. That part of the body that gives us the power to imagine, to process, and to create happiness, to create success and opportunities. We thank you, Lord, because you created and made the leg. An inside job, bones and muscles and joints that work together to help us stand, to walk, to run, to jump while supporting our weight. We thank you for maintaining balance by creating the leg. But then, Lord God, you made the mouth. You helped us to eat, to speak, to bite, to chew, and to swallow. This was an inside job, and we believe that you were well pleased with what you did. So we thank you, God, that you took on all of this sin for our earthly fathers. This morning on this third Sunday in June, we say Happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. But then, more importantly, we recognize our earthly fathers. Happy Father's Day to our earthly father. But then to the Father of all fathers. We thank you, Father God, for delivering us from evil. We bless your name, Father God, for being our refuge and our strength. This morning, Father God, we recognize that you have been a very present help in the time of trouble. This morning, Father God, on this third Sunday in June, in the year of our Lord 2020, we are looking to the hills from whence cometh our help. Because our help comes from you. We know that you made heaven, you made earth, you created our earthly fathers in your own image and likeness. Thank you, Father, for perfecting the inside job. We know that you're not finished. we can say Happy Father's Day to the only Father that woke us up this morning. The only Father that allowed our minds to be regulated. The only Father that blew breath in our nostrils and allowed us to become a living soul. The only Father who's been right there all the time. Through every mountain, you brought us over. Through every valley, you've seen us through. For every blessing, Heavenly Father, we thank you. For this, Heavenly Father, we're going to give you praise. We're going to give you honor. We're going to give you thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from
evil. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for forgiving our trespasses. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this day, one day at a time, our daily bread. So, God, as we close this, we want you to know that we recognize that the kingdom belongs to you. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory all belongs to you. Forever from this day forward, forever and ever, we're not going to wait to praise you. We're not going to wait for legislation to give your name praise. We're going to praise you when we feel like it. We're going to praise you when we don't. We're going to praise you when it looks right. We're going to praise you when it doesn't look right. We're just going to keep on praising you because we know that if we continue to do what you've commanded us to do in the prayer that you taught your disciples, we know one day you will take us from this body, but we're not worried about it because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And at that time, we want to hear you say, well done. Well done, earthly fathers. Well done, earthly mothers. You fought a good fight. Hallelujah. You kept the faith. You've run well. Now I have laid up for you a crown of life, not just for you, but for everyone that loves his appearance. So, God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because
you have been there
all the time, not waiting for 62 years to go by, not waiting for a declaration to say it's national or it's official, it's federal Father's Day. We say Happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father, and then we say Happy Father's Day to our earthly fathers. Amen and amen.
All right.